Father asked me what readings I was preaching on last night, and he was so disappointed because this gospel is his favorite gospel, I guess, and I'm not preaching anything about the gospel, so he may have some words. He may give you another homily at the end. I was really struck in our second reading, the letter to the Hebrews. I was really struck by just a little short phrase in there. We hear of Jesus. He says, the author to the Hebrews said, Christ, he appeared in the sanctuary, in the heavenly sanctuary, and he appeared there. He appeared before God on our behalf. He was, in a sense, you get the picture of Jesus there standing before God, and he's pleading on our behalf. Jesus, our intercessor. And it's a striking image. I think many times it's easy to hear again and again, you know, Jesus died for us, Jesus died for us, Jesus gave his life for us, Jesus died on the cross for us. But it's easy to lose sight of how helpless we were and how much of an intercessor that Christ has been for us and how much we needed Jesus, the intercessor. There's a movie that I watched a number of years ago. This movie was from the 40s, 1940, back in the Stone Age, I think. last Mass, I almost got stoned for saying that. This movie is called, it's just called The Devil and Daniel Webster. And the long and the short of it is there was a farmer that he was having a tough run of luck. And so, for some reason, he got into contact with the devil. And I don't know what the farmer's name was, but anyways, he got in contact with the devil. And the devil said, you know, if you sign your soul over to me, if you sell your soul to me, I will give you 15 years of bountiful crops and success and everything like that. So, sounded pretty good to the farmer, and so he said, okay, I'll do that. And so so for 15 years, he had huge bumper crops. He made all sorts of money. And even when hailstorms would come through the area, all of his neighbors' crops were destroyed, but his were just flourished. And so that went on for 15 years straight. He enjoyed the fruit of his promise. Is pact with the devil. But 15 years came and went, and so at the end of that, the devil showed up at his door, and he said, well, now it's time. And the farmer, of course, was all of a sudden shocked by the consequence of his promise to the devil. And somehow this farmer then got into contact with a guy by the name of Daniel Webster. He was a renowned lawyer, truly honorable and knowledgeable. He was larger than life, and he was eloquent. He was a well-known lawyer. And this lawyer, Daniel Webster, basically he came and they set up a courtroom scene, and he argued in defense of this poor farmer who had sold his soul, and he pleaded for this man. He was pleading to the jurors in that courtroom for this man's life. He was pleading for their mercy, and in the end, Daniel Webster saved this man, and the devil lost his grip on him. It's just a good image, I thought. You know, that's exactly what Jesus is, and when the letter to the Hebrews says Jesus is there on our behalf, he's very much pleading for us. It's easy to forget that, or it's easy to think, you know, in our daily lives, you know, would things be a whole lot different if Jesus never came? Does the resurrection, does the crucifixion really matter? Wouldn't life be just as how it is now? It's easy to forget how much we were captive to sin, and even today, if it weren't for the grace of the power of Jesus, how captive we would be, and how in the end we would be doomed to hell. But thanks be to God, thanks be to Jesus, he did appear before God, arguing on our behalf, arguing against Satan, and he himself, by his blood, he won that, and he is a true intercessor for us. Now, that's Jesus, and thanks be to God, Jesus did that for us. But Jesus also teaches us what we need to do, too. He teaches us that we need to follow after him, and that we need, just as Jesus lived and acted on behalf of us, on behalf of others, not on behalf of himself, he also teaches us that we, too, need to live on behalf of others. And I think it's just something we really need to put into our minds, that we're not here for ourselves, we're here for others. And so it doesn't take anything real special. We just, in our own daily lives, the lives we live now, we have plenty of opportunities to live for others. Fathers, grandfathers, husbands, you have ample opportunities to live on behalf of who? Your wife, your children. You're there to protect and to provide for your children and your family. And it's not for yourself that God has put you in that position of father or grandfather, but it's really for the others in your family. And same with mothers and grandmothers and wives. You know, you really have a special gift to provide for your children, to live on behalf of your children, your grandchildren. And then also, just the, you know, you young men and women out there, and any of the kids that are left, you boys and girls, you really too, we all have to live this living for others. And there's, even for you kids, there's plenty of opportunities where you want to live for you want to do something for your parents, or you want to also maybe, like if you're in school, there's so many ways where you can live for your friends, or stand up or live on behalf of others. Maybe there's a kid or two that aren't popular, or they're getting picked on at school. There are so many ways where you too can stand up for other people, that you can show them that you care about them. And just as Christ interceded for us and pleaded on our behalf, that you too, we can all be that in our world today. And all of us as Christians, we're called, it is our duty to live on behalf of the other, on behalf of those that are weak, and on behalf of those that are put into our care. And so just as Christ did that, so also we are. And there's the story of Saint Maximilian Kolbe, a fantastic example of this. You probably know a story, but he was a Polish priest, and he was sent off to a Nazi concentration camp in Auschwitz in Poland. And they were, of course, a concentration camp. They were being starved to death, overworked, just held on the brink of death. Anyways, from this concentration camp, there was a person escaped, a man escaped. And so the Nazis, they wanted to teach the people in the camp a lesson. So they said, okay, because one man escaped, we're going to kill 20 of you. And so they brought all the people out, and they chose 20 of them. And these 20 prisoners, they were going to go be starved in the bunker where they, over the next couple of weeks, they would be given no food or water and starved to death, literally for 2 weeks of just excruciating suffering. Now, that one of these 20 was a man that had a wife and kids, and so he pleaded with the Nazi guards, can you please spare me? I have wife and kids. He was crying. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, he was not part of the 20 that was chosen to be starved to death. But realizing that he too has the duty to live for others, just as we all are, he was called to offer himself on behalf of that one man. And so that's what he did. He said, take me instead. I'm a Catholic priest, take me instead. And to this day, that man, well, in the last 10 years, that man survived. He made it through the concentration camp. Maximilian Kolbe gave his life down in that cell, that dark cell where he suffered for 2 weeks, starving to death. And so just another example of how much we need, and how what a blessing it is for us to live on behalf of others, to intercede for others, to fight for others. And the last thing that Jesus wants us to be concerned about is what we want. We should always be other-oriented, and that's what he shows us, and that's what he gives us the grace to do. So as Christ lived and died on behalf of others, we also need to live on behalf of others in whatever way that may be.